You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Talk Soap. I'm your host, Douglas. You can follow me at DouglasML1974 on Twitter and Periscope. You can follow my co-host, Kelly. Hello, Kelly. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You can follow Kelly at KellyBeth with an I. And Michael, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And you can follow Michael on Twitter at MPGRASSO. All right. Well, we weren't on for a couple of weeks, so we got a lot of catching up. But first, I just want to let everybody know that's listening that doesn't have Periscope, we're now going to be integrating Periscope, which is a new app, which I'll talk about in a minute, into our show now. So for now, we'll have people live streaming us and listening to us because I have you guys on the speaker. And they'll, you know, if they want to ask questions or make comments and stuff, I'll do shout outs to them while they're listening to the podcast. So for anybody who's listen to the show, now you know what I look like. Here I am. Okay. So first off, how you been, Kelly? Haven't talked to you for a couple weeks. How you been?
I know it's freaking ridiculous because I missed you, but I'm doing good. Just working and spending time with the family. My nephew's birthday was 2 weeks ago and my little niece turned 6. And so I got to enjoy some family time with the babies. So it's been good.
Awesome. Michael, how have you been?
I have been good. I've been busy. It is finally a nice week here where we can breathe and relax. We're at the end of our school year, and I was in charge of the end of the year and making sure that 1,600 students got checked out and moved off campus. So we're kind of wrapping that up yesterday and today. So I feel relaxed. I feel I deserve a glass or a bottle of wine or something. So it's good.
Or maybe that may be a case if you had to deal with 1,600 students. Good Jesus, Lord.
For real, right?
All right. Well, just send a bottle down here to Florida.
Yes, yes. We'll have wine together.
Oh, sounds great. Anyway, just to let everybody know, like I said, we're live on Periscope. If you don't know what Periscope is a new app that was purchased by Twitter. And all you do is you download it. It's on iOS only right now. The Android is coming very soon. I think it's this week. And now it's going to be even double the amount of people and talent and things that you can watch. But it's all it is Twitter, but you get to stream live and you'll be able to see people from all over the country, meet new people, follow celebrities and see them in everyday lives. I mean, it's really awesome. I've met a lot of great friends and family so far on this app. And I want to be able to talk to you guys on the app. And you give hearts instead, you know, like on Facebook, you like somebody or you like a comment, Twitter, you favorite it. Well, on Periscope, you tap the screen to give hearts. And that's how you move up the ranks with your hearts. Some people have like, 1,000 hearts. Some have like 5.7 million already because they're on a lot. But this is my first talk, our first Talk Soap Periscope. So let's get right into it. I first want to say congratulations to Greg Rikaart, who plays Kevin Fisher on Young and the Restless, for his recent marriage to his husband last week. He tweeted out a picture quoting holy matrimony with a beach picture. And it was very, very pretty. Did you guys see that? Or at least, well, did you guys see it? Or did you see it, Kelly?
Yep.
I did see it. It was super exciting. Because I love Kevin, and I think it was on this show, probably about 6-8 months ago, when I realized that he was actually a gay man, and I was like, I love Kevin even more now, because obviously, you two are some of my favorites. I'm like, Kevin, I didn't know that, because Kevin is a very good straight acting man. So, but anyway, I was super happy to see. It's always good when you see people that you like happy. So it was great.
Yes, yes. We just keep adding gays to your repertoire of people.
True.
Also, just like at FJKEEGAN just says, I guess that's FJ Keegan. I was just getting ready to say this, that Kevin said recently, Greg recently said that he would like Kevin to come out of the closet on the show. And I think that'd be really cool. They already have fan fiction going out that there is people fantasizing about him and Detective Harding getting together, and their shipper name is #harder.
I love that.
Oh, I know. Isn't that right? That's hot.
Yes.
hot. But yeah, that would be cool. But let's get over some of this craziness in Genoa City first before we even attempt to have these fucked up writers even try to attempt to write a good LGBT storyline like they've done on the other three shows that are on air that have current LGBT storylines going on. Okay. So let's go through some news real quick before we go into the shows themselves. Let me pull this up right here. For General Hospital fans, Sean Blakemore, who everybody knows as the one and only, who is he?
Sean.
Sean.
I'm just playing trivia with you if you know a person's people's names. But Sean Blakemore, has bid fans goodbye on social media. So he will be leaving the show. And then the writer who just was at Young and the Restless, Gene Passanante, is that how you say your name?
I never knew. I don't know how to say her name, but I don't feel she's been gone that long, has she?
She hasn't. I mean, they literally must have just swooped her up over at General Hospital.
Yeah,
so it just seems like pretty soon Young and the Restless is just going to go move over to General Hospital. You know, they have Emmy Ryland, who played Abby. They have Billy Miller, who played Billy Abbott. They have Michelle Stafford, who played Phyllis. You know, they're just slowly. And actually, the little Kiki used to be young Abby on Young and the Restless. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just like now they have the writer back. I mean, that writer from Young and Restless, Gene probably was like, fuck this. I'm out of here. I don't want to even deal with Young and Restless anymore, dealing with Chuck Pratt and Jill Farron Phillips. So that's that news. Let me just keep going through my little stuff here. Finola Hughes is taking the summer off to direct a movie, so we won't be seeing any Anna. She's doing to direct The Bird and the Bees. It's a new movie. So there's going to be a lot of departures from General Hospital because, people are dying. We just lost Ian Buchanan, who played Duke Lavery for, like, you know, three decades. He got shot during the General Hospital nurse's ball, GH Live, also this week. And so she's going to be gone. And then we know Tony Geary is leaving. So it's sad, you know. There's a lot of good people leaving.
Carlos is leaving too. Whatever his
name. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Carlos got shot today, so that's good. No more Carlos. Yay! Go take a shower. But yeah, that's one less script that needs to be read. But we'll get into General Hospital in just a few, because there's a lot of questions. I've been scratching my head about some stuff on for a while. Also, back to Days of Our Lives is, I never knew how to say his name. Is it Tao? Tao?
He used to be on General Hospital.
Theo, yes.
I don't know. I just look at it. He's one of those names where I know I recognize it, but I've never said it out loud, yeah. So I don't know how.
Yeah, so he's coming back for the Days of Our Lives 50th anniversary, so we don't know about that. And then A. Martinez, as many fans know from General Hospital in Santa Barbara, he is going to be joining the cast too. It's rumored that he's going to play with someone who ties to Rafe, so not sure what that's about, so we'll have to tune in and find out. Okay, so let me close out all these. Yes, at Greenville 1994 says, I hope Christian LeBlanc stays. They're redoing the whole cancer storyline from when the new writer came in. So I don't think he's going anywhere. But we'll talk about that in a minute too when we get to Young and Restless, because the behavior that they're writing Christian, aka Michael Baldwin, in is just really disturbing. It's very frustrating. Hiring a hooker? I mean, really? Anyway. So let's get right into it. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start with Young and Restless. I because there was a two-part interview, which I think you both read, with that Michael Logan did with from TV Guide with Jill Farron Phillips, the executive producer, and Chuck Pratt, the executive head writer of Young and Restless. And there was not like one happy fan on social media that I saw about this interview. The Prattster has continued his reign of terror on a huge chunk of fans, yet the show still remains number one. So I just want to go through some of these and get your feedback on them. I don't have David here with us today to key in on Young and Restless, but let's just Let's start with this one. It says, the storyline that's the most fuss at the moment is the Jack Abbott and doppelganger storyline. While the plot works well on some levels and the ripple effect is potentially huge, can you understand why fans are pissed about yet another evil twin story? There has been so many on the show in the recent years. That's what Michael Logan said. And so Chuck Pratt says, I have the advantage of knowing where the story is going, so I don't know if the gripes will become louder or softer, but the whole reason for it that I looked at Peter Bergman and Eric Braeden and saw two great actors, two titans, who are the tent poles of Young and the Restless, who needed to be challenged with a big, strong story, one that could be based on Victor's longtime desire and need to beat Jack once and for all, an umbrella story that could affect every character. And then Phelps said, we like to do umbrellas. We've learned that from Glory Monty. And Chuck was very smart to do that with Jack and Victor, who are the show, just as General Hospital's Sonny and Luke. When you're flipping channels and come upon these shows and see these faces, you know exactly what you're watching. Well, I'm sorry, Jill Farron Phillips. I am watching, and I don't know what I'm watching. These people are being written out of character. There is so much wrong. But let's continue with the rest of these. Now, speaking of the Kevin being gay story, let me scroll through this. Sorry, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Greg Rucart recently gave an interview stating that he wants his character Kevin to be gay. What are the chances of this happening? There's a rabid camp of fans who want Kevin to get it on with Detective Harding. Phelps said, really? And then Michael Logan said, yes, Harding and Fisher, their squish name is harder. Phelps said, I never heard that before. I don't go online. Well, she better not go online because she'll be persecuted. Pratt said, with the right circumstances and the right character, it could be Kevin or someone else. I would love to tell that story. I've told a gay storyline on every show I've ever been on, and it's odd there isn't a gay relationship on Young and the Restless. Phillips said, it would be need to feel fresh and just not a box we check off, just because that's what people expect. It needs to be more than that. It needs to be about characters that audiences care about. You can't do a gay storyline just for the sake of it. Here she says she's writing about characters that the audiences care about. She needs to remember that line, because the characters are being destroyed currently on the canvas because they're being written out of character. It's being plot driven, not character driven like it should be. So exactly. Somebody just asked if this fake Jack killed Courtney and Austin, and we did learn that. This is so ridiculous. This does makes no sense. Okay, let me just get right into it. So Finn comes back the other day, and he's been gone, and he comes back and says that he tried to break in and change his grade, and he got black at college and got blackmailed, and so the guy blackmailed him, told him to go get all the kids together at the cabin and drug them. And he's a drug lord, and his name is Marco something. Well, Marco something is actually the name of the fake Jack. So why in the hell is the fake Jack Marco involved with Finn and the cabin story, all over grades? I mean, it just makes no sense. I mean, I read earlier that Pratt has a reason for doing what he's doing, but it makes no sense that this whole debacle over the cabin story is over this fake Jack. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. But speaking of fake Jack, let's continue. Let me scroll back up a little bit. Hold on, I gotta scroll way back up. Where's the part about Adam? Must be on the first page. Sorry, usually I have my stuff right pulled up together. Well, damn, I don't even know where the hell that is. Anyway, I don't know where it's at, but it was on this interview as well that Adam is going to be the one to expose fake Jack, because, you know, as everybody knows, real Jack knows that Gabriel is real Adam. Are you with me so far? And then, so he's going to be the one to figure it out. And so I hope they get it taken care of soon. It's just ridiculous. I'm ready for this cabin Scooby-Doo story to be over with. They don't utilize Mariah enough, Cameron Grimes. I really want to see more Cameron Grimes. So that's just a few of my issues right now. But before I get Kelly's opinion on things, there's going to be a special show on May 27th that's going to be all about Nicky Newman. It's about an intervention on with Nicky Newman. So be sure you don't miss that. It's going to have everybody there that's going to do an intervention. I think that Catherine Chancellor had an intervention a couple years ago where everybody came over to do that. So they're kind of doing that. And there's also some hints that Neil and Nikki are going to get together. Please don't do that. Not because of Black and White, but just because their characters have never mingled before. And no, separate. They share the whole drinking thing, but don't put them together. That's just so wrong. But then again, if it can get the winners on the show more often, the winners fans will enjoy that. So, all right, Kelly, what are your thoughts about everything that's going on in Young and Restless right now?
Oh, okay. I love Adam. let's start on a positive note. Love me some Justin Hartley. He is, mm-hmm. I still think that he is killing it as Adam. I know that, you know, some people think, you know, like, oh, somebody else should have been cast as that part. I think he, and I say somebody else, meaning David, because he's not here to defend himself. But I mean, like, I love him. I love everything about it. And when, you know, like, he's tried to have that, like, you know, don't you know who I am conversation with the fake Jack thing. And I'm really waiting for him to realize, like, wait, this isn't Jack. Like, I think it's finally started to hit him the last time he said something to him. And Jack's like, well, who are you exactly? And it's I super loved the Billy Chelsea wedding, mainly because they didn't get married. But
yeah.
I just, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, this is Carly and Franco's wedding all over again. Because exactly. when he called her at the, you know, during the vow part, when he says, you know, basically, you know, you can take this, you know, what did he call her? Some kind of slut. And I was like, that's pretty much the same as, you know, Franco calling Carly a whore at the altar. So I was like, thank you again for a recycled General Hospital storyline.
Exactly.
I just loved it because they didn't get married. Because I did not want Chelsea to marry Billy, period. Because new Billy is worse. The fact that Sage is pregnant makes me want to vomit.
Yes, I have morning sickness right now just thinking about it because exactly, I don't like the character. Exactly. I don't want her there. I don't think that then there needs to be another Newman, whether it's Gabriel's or hers, or Nick's. He's got enough on his plate. Nick does. He's a bastard. He don't even take care of his damn kids. He's out screwing it.
He'd be nice. He takes care of his kids. He just has a crazy ass baby mama. Because Sharon, now look, I like Sharon. I'm a fan of Sharon in most circumstances. But, you know, when she struts into the underground while she's still on house arrest, like, and then this whole, like, she's giving Nick the third degree about, you know, what's going on with Sage. Well, you know what? Nobody's saying anything to you about banging an engaged guy, but you did it. Nobody's saying squat to her about what's going on with her and Dylan. And if they did, she would get crazy defensive and act like a crazy person, which is exactly what she's doing. She says yesterday she walked right up to Nick and she was like, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on with Sage. I'm just like, seriously, this is why people don't want to deal with you. This is why you complain about people not being able to, you know, not being able to trust anybody, because nobody wants to deal with you because you act like an insane person. 75% of the time.
Well, let me go
and
back.
The times that she's acting normal, she's still like making out with Dylan. So it's like, it's a lose-lose.
Okay, let me just interject real quick. Going back to the interview with Pratt and JFP, Michael Logan says, a lot of Sharon fans are unhappy with the way she's being written. And Pratt says, I hear that they think we use the character as a punching bag. And he returns with, well, it does seem like the last few head writers see her as some sort of psycho who needs to be punished. Pratt said, the first thing I did was take Sharon's child away from her. And I did that because it defines passion in the character. When I learned of Sharon's backstory, switching paternity records and things like that, I fell in love with the character and said, quote, we've got to get her off her meds, end quote. That's because that's when she becomes interesting to me. I love seeing her as a troublemaker and feel we can play with that and still say in Sharon's heart, she's a good person and makes her a valuable and beloved character who shouldn't be in a monogamous relationship with Nick raising Faith. Maybe that's what some of the audience want, but to me, it would be a great waste of Sharon Case's talents. And then Jill chimed in and said, one of the reasons Sharon Case is so popular is that she's so game as an actress. She shows up one day and her character is nuts. The next day she's not. And she plays it all beautifully and fully. She's very willing to go wherever we want her to go in any other ways that actors won't. So what I got from that is, in just like a previous interview with Pratt, he takes the word crazy as if everybody with bipolar is crazy. I'm bipolar and I didn't burn down a house. I didn't switch paternity test. I didn't do the stuff that Sharon did. I know it's fiction, but come on, at least over in Bold and the Beautiful with the transgender storyline, they're going off of facts and compassion. You're taking a story about bipolar people and you're turning it into this caricature or cartoon of the disease that people live with every day. And it's pissed off a lot of people. So anyway, I prefer them to do some fact checking, which they don't do these last few regimes. But anyway, so what do you think about? I don't know if anybody knows a spoiler. I don't know if it's been out there or not. So maybe I shouldn't say it. Okay, what do you think about? God, I just went blank on what I was going to say. Oh, what do you think about? I just went blank. Oh, the sex scene between Chelsea and Adam, the round two.
Heaven help us all, is what I thought. because, I mean, like, I'm telling you, he is one fine specimen of man. And to see him with no shirt, it's just like, well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, yeah. Writers. For the one thing I will thank you for is for writing into this scene that, you know, Chelsea needs to rip Adam's clothes off because it's a great idea. It is a great idea.
Yeah. But you know what, and I think David's talked about this before, and FJ Keegan just reminded me that he's making out with his friend's wife. So it's really crazy. That's kind of, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what that conversation is like afterwards. Anyway, let's see what else is going on in Genoa City. Nothing really pops up because it's been so lackluster. Did you think that Victor was going to take that syringe and inject it into fake Jack?
I mean, if it would kill this storyline quicker, I'd be all for it. Because this is just friggin', I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I'm sorry. I don't care how much, well, I mean, I guess if you have enough money, you can, you know, quote unquote, convince anybody of anything. And that's why those police officers in whatever country that Kelly has Jack holed up in, you know, just believe that she's a doctor and Jack is her patient, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean,
okay, so let's just talk real quick because I just put some things together in my head. So we saw the flashbacks that Victor shows up in the Peruvian jail with this guy that speaks Spanish, and he already looked like Jack. So the guy, so Marco didn't have plastic surgery. So the guy already looks like him. How in the hell did he find someone that looks like him? And then he acts like him, charms people like him, you know, talks like him, walks like him. You know, we know the whole thing about, you know, how he's having sex with with Phyllis, and that's kind of like called rape, and they talked about that in that interview as well. But it's just, I mean, you know what? Victor Newman should open up a brand within his company, Newman Enterprises, called like Doppelgangers R Us or something, because he's done it with the fake Cassie that ended up being Mariah. He's done it with Patty Mary Jane and Dr. Emily Peterson. It's just like he can just find people in the world. I mean, you know, it's fiction. I get it. It's fiction, but it's just, come on, let's put some reality in some of this, because yesteryear's Young and Restless used to be romantic and passionate and thrilling and suspenseful, and you couldn't wait till the next day. And now I'm just like, oh God, I want this episode to be over. So anyway, any other thoughts on Young and Restless before we move on?
I'm just really super not a fan. I'm just really super not a fan of this whole Sage thing. I mean, please just stop it. I mean, like, I'm serious about this. I might jump on the bandwagon with Michael and hope that something terrible happens to that baby.
I actually thought the same thing the other day.
If Nick has another child, that makes 35 for him. And it's just, I mean, he's just too, and they're all with, well, of course, except for Noah and Faith, they're all with, like, you know, let's flip-flop women on who I have children with, and now let's go to a different one. And it's like, seriously, I can't. Because Sage annoys, she annoys the piss out of me. Because she's always just like, oh, and like touching him in the most awkward ways possible.
Yeah. Like, well, let's just say that.
So weird.
Let's just say that the casting director and writers of the show have taken two great actresses, Kelly Sullivan and Katie McClain, and ruined their characters. They've destroyed Kelly. That Kelly dies next week. She washes out the shore, and that's how Jack escapes. And then Sage, who is Kelly Sullivan, is just being, I mean, I'd rather have her back on General Hospital as the dual identity of Kate and Connie.
Yes, please.
I know. We're going to get to you, Michael, in a minute. You just sit in the corner and
calm down. I know. I'm good.
I know. Just needlepoint or something.
I just can't. With Kelly and with Sage, I can't.
I know.
Because, yeah. I mean, like, you look at Kelly, and all of a sudden she's, you know, turned into some, like, beach bunny, whatever, wearing big, you know, like, third-grade flowers in her hair and shorts where the pockets are hanging out the bottom that women her age should not be wearing. And it's just like, seriously, you know, like you're ruining people. Cause and honestly, I wish if this was the original Kelly, who was that woman that played her when she first came on?
Cynthia Waltrose.
Do that show on MTV. I loved her. Yes. I loved her. And if she was playing this role, I think she would be killing it.
Yeah.
Because I can see her being like, but this is just like unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know this is where I need, you know, like, I need to prep this stuff. Like, I know that soap operas are not real. I know they're not.
I know
that there's not going to be, you know, entire towns devoted to mafia life. I know that there's not going to be, you know, big towns in Wisconsin that, you know, run off one man and his imagination and his pocketbook, because we all know that's what that town runs on, is on Victor's imagination and his pocketbook.
Yeah.
I know these things aren't real, but when they take it to such an extreme, like, that's why I quit watching Days of Our Lives, because they started sending everybody to that island. Everybody started dying and they sent them to the island. And I was just like, this is stupid. I'm done. And I quit watching it. And I've watched this show for 35 years.
Yeah.
Not really, because I'm only 35. 30 years, though. 30 years. I started watching this show with my grandmother when I was 5 years old. I'm invested. I love it. So there's not going to be a point where I come to you and I say, look, this is getting so stupid that I'm not going to watch it anymore. I will continue to watch and pray to everything righteous about writers and holiness and whatever, that it will come back around full circle and everything will turn right again and it won't suck anymore.
Exactly. Well, let's head over to Los Angeles and just talk about, let me just say that I'm glad the storyline of Maya is existing, because I quit watching for a year after 25 years. And this has been the best writing and acting I have seen on daytime in a very long time. So we've been bitching about the repetitive script that Rick has been spewing for weeks about honesty and loyalty and she would never hurt me and blah, blah, blah. Well, now Rick had a shocking reaction. I mean, I was not expecting it. And yesterday, I will say, when he was talking to her at the end, I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good.
Well, just wait till today, because he's going to crush you today.
I already saw today's. Yes, that's what I was getting ready to say. That today, it ended with a big crash. And I just hope that Rick's okay. But I just want to say that there's a lot of PSA type scenes, like with the GLAAD, talking about GLAAD, and talking about the information on transgender issues, such as the crime rate and the murder rate for transgenders. So I just think it's been beautifully played. Carla is fantastic playing Maya. I will say, back when she first started, she was real ratchet with that hair and she was a money schemer and what all that. But now, since they've developed her into the transgender role, I mean, she is just killing it. And Rick, I will say, I don't like Jacob Young, and we all have a reason for that. He's doing a really good job too with his reaction as well. So what'd you think of, not talking about today, but what'd you think about yesterday with his reaction?
I mean, we discussed this a couple weeks ago, like we saw it coming, you know, when he said in that last interview that we talked about, like, he's not going to have, you know, a typical Rick reaction. You knew that he was going to have a reaction similar to something like, oh, that's it. That's no big deal. Let's get married. Let's do whatever. Let's keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, when he, you know, his initial reaction, then he was a little upset and blah, blah, blah. And then he, when she was getting ready to leave and he was like, you know, like watching her, he's like, wait a minute, you know, he's getting ready to lose, you know, somebody that 5 minutes ago was the love of his life, and, you know, apparently she still is, and whatever, so that's, you know, like his reaction really did surprise me.
Yeah.
But what is he going to, I'm afraid to see the shitstorm that's going to happen when he gets back and realizes that everybody knew.
Yeah.
Everybody, well, of course, knew.
Yeah, he learned a lot that a lot of people didn't know, but I wonder what's going to happen now. Is he going to have amnesia? Is he going to, you know, what, you know, is it just a wreck? It's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess what they'll tune in. That's, at least with that show, they write it to where you want to tune in to the next episode. Young and Restless and General Hospital, for me, I'm not going, oh my God, I can't wait till tomorrow like I used to. So I'm anxious to see it. And you notice there's no other storyline going on. Everybody on the canvas of Bold and Beautiful is involved with this storyline. And I think that's fantastic. There's not too many shows. I mean, not too many, too much, you know, because it's only a half hour show for like 22 minutes. So yes, Cowley Rossi said he showed that he felt betrayal but was accepting. See, that was good. That was the fact that, you know, he was like, why didn't you tell me? And, you know, he made you think that he was going to be like, get the fuck out. But he really was like, the Maya I knew would never deceive me and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, congratulations to everyone at Bold and Beautiful for a great job on this storyline. And I hope it continues to be good because I'm tuning in just for that. Okay, let's move over to Port Charles. I just want to tell you I'm shaking my head. Well, let me shake my head because I'm on Periscope Live, so I'm going to shake my head. I am just shaking my head. Let me just start that I didn't watch the GH Live. I wanted to watch the GH Live Friday and Monday show and all at once because it was live, because I wanted to dissect it and watch it and stuff. And I actually fast forwarded through most of it. I was so bored. Let's just say here. It was just hokey. It was hokey. It was silly. I wasn't entertained. So many people got shot. Duke died. Carlos died. Nick and Nina and Rick got married. What the fuck was that about? Hayden got shot. I mean, it's just, they're just like trimming the cast all at once. And it was just ridiculous. Michael, tell me what the hell Nina and Rick's story. Did I miss something?
Okay. First of all, you need to sit down because you're saying some things you don't mean.
Amen.
It caught me off guard as well, seeing the two of them. But I have to say that I like it because I've said for so long that Nina and Franco don't even belong on the show. They're isolated. They're always just together. It's like we don't even need them because they don't interact. So while it might not make sense, I'm sure there's a reason to come. The fact that Rick, you know, and Nina are kind of like pulled together, that at least gets her out of there, you know, into, you know, the rest of the cast and Franco by association as well. So I don't know. I don't know what's up. Rick is... I love him because sometimes he can be so good and upstanding, and then other times he is the most evil person you've ever seen. And I think that that's very interesting about him because he's not just the good guy or the bad guy. And so at the moment you're seeing the bad guy, but he's also crazy. And so I don't know what this means, but I'm excited by what it means for Nina, hopefully. So
well,
I don't know.
Well, I can interject there that I would be excited if they showed some backstory within the last week, but there's not been one hint of them together.
Yeah, which is why I think it's kind of cool because it caught you off guard. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes we need to see everything, and other times I'm kind of glad when we don't because we kind of question it, and it makes you kind of want to see, like, where did this come from? You know, because the past few days they've been focusing on, you know, Duke and the nurse's ball and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, this clearly was going on behind the scenes, and now we're seeing it. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, my favorite part of the whole two live episodes was the credits of yesterday's show with Spencer and Billy. That's all I cared about.
That was so cute. I loved it.
Go ahead.
You might not know this, but on Friday's live episode, the end credits as well, they brought back Lily, who was Sonny's wife back in, like, I don't know, 1994 or 1995, and she blew up in a car in a bomb that was meant for him. And so that was kind of a nice touch to kind of just bring her back.
He's like, there you are. That was fun.
Yeah. Who's the actress that played
her? Name is Lily. I don't know how to say her last name. It's N-E-L-G-A-R, Melgar, maybe. That's how I say it.
Oh, okay.
She and Martha Madsen or Madison, I think that's her name. She was the second Belle on Days of Our Lives. They have a soap opera radio show that's filmed. So, I mean, you can watch it on YouTube. But you can also listen to it as well.
Cool.
They're pretty cool. I like them a lot. But yeah, that was Lily. That was kind of cool to see her back on stage or back on screen.
Okay. So since I just totally trashed GH Live, tell me what your thoughts were about GH Live.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Hold on a minute. We weren't on last week. So,
yeah.
What do you think about Nurse's Ball and GH Live? Go. The floor is yours, Michael, since I took
the first
4 minutes.
Here I go. Okay, Nurse's Ball, very exciting. I love that. You know, it's always something always big happens. And so, you know that secretly, and not secretly, I say it every time we're on air, I would love the Jake story I would love him to be undiscovered for like years, you know, and then when it finally comes out, it'd be like, we've been had, and it's crazy. But the fact that he did come out to an extent, I really liked. I saw that as shocking, and I really liked that. And Elizabeth was put in this place because she's known as this, you know, nice, you know, pretty porcelain Elizabeth, and she always does the right thing. And people forget that when she first came on, she was a troublemaker, and she was the bad sister and the evil sister. And so I love when these moments kind of pop up where you kind of see that other side of her. And, you know, this is finally her chance with Jake or Jason. And so she's going to keep the secret no matter what it means. And the fact that they've been making Nicholas a little more underhanded, you know, I like that. And I hate Nicholas, but I love that they share this secret, you know, and I don't know. It's just been fun to watch. So I like that. Olivia having the baby, I didn't see that coming. But TV pregnancies, they make no sense to me. It seems you could be pregnant for a month and all of a sudden it's time for you to give birth. And other times, you know, you can be pregnant for 12 months and like, when is this baby coming? So that caught me off guard just because I didn't know it was time. But, you know, why not have a baby right there in the ballroom? There's not enough time to get off. So that's fun. I knew that I was hoping for that baby to die right away or like be stillborn, but that's a whole other story. But I just enjoyed it all, and I liked that The whole Brad and Lucas, I loved all of that. I loved Anna and Duke coming back together. I just, there was just so much, you know, fun. You know, it was a fun show to watch. Musical numbers are always kind of fun. Sometimes they're hokey, but it's almost like you go to your niece's pageant or whatever, and, you know, you like it for what it is. It's not going to win an Emmy, but maybe this will, I hope. But I don't know. I'm just going all over the place now. So that's what I thought about Nurse's Ball.
Let me just
it was fun.
Let me just interject. Sure. At Mikey Tiger Licks asks, when did Nicholas start ordering hits on people? Is this his first one in regards to shooting Hayden?
Yeah. I don't know if he's done it before. I mean, I don't think so. To my knowledge, like, this is new. Like, he kind of came onto the canvas in the late 90s as kind of like the good Cassidy, and he wanted to, like, fix the family and kind of like not be like everyone else. And now, you know, they say he's kind of embracing his other side. I don't know if there's a bigger story to it, if it's as simple as that, but to my knowledge, he's not done anything like that. So, but I don't know. He's had a lot to lose this time. So who knows? But
so were you sad when Duke died? Are you sad about him? Are you team Duke?
I am, you know, I don't know. It's a soap opera. I get that. It's not real life. To me, I could see the good in it, you know, like all that will come from it and the story that it will propel. I get that. You have to keep moving forward. And there's so many people on the canvas anyway. Sometimes you do need some people to die. I get that. The part that was sad for me was that they had killed him back in, I don't know when it was, the 90s maybe? And, you know, he was off the canvas for 20 years. We believed him to be dead. And then they brought him back, you know, because it wasn't really dead. And it was great. And so to be gone for so long, to finally get free and be reunited with Anna, and you're only on the show for like 2 years, and most of that time you're not even together because of what Julian did to you in the 80s. You're trying to get revenge, and it's that trying to get revenge that did you in the end. I mean, it's bittersweet. It's just awful. It's sad. So I was sad to see him go because, you know, he wasn't back for that long, but I understand too. So I think some good things will come from this. I mean, the very first thing, Carlos is dead, so thank goodness he didn't need to be around. Not a fan of him. Actor's great, props to you, but I'm done with your character. So
now today, let me just interject. When I watched today's show, or maybe it was yesterday's, because I just watched three episodes in a row, when they said that the Olivia's baby died, or before that, I was thinking, oh God, I hope this, why she's crying is that the baby died. And I said, oh, I'm going to pull a Michael. That's just so funny. And then we find out, quote, the baby died. And then we find out, quote, the baby's been shipped off at a house somewhere. So I guess that's kind of good, but you know, we don't even know where AJ's at right now. We haven't even seen Ava. You know, we know she's not dead. She's being she's probably getting bone marrow from the baby, and she's healing, and she's going to burst back into town and take over the mob. And anyway, so what else did you think about the GH Live? And was there, I mean, because I did scan through some of it. What was there anything that was any goofs or anything happened that was
And here's my thing with that. I love that they went live. I think that was really cool. On one hand, it could be a gimmick, you know, like, hey, we're doing this, check us out. That's fine. You know, you got to up your ratings. The other hand, Soaps used to be filmed live. So I thought it was a really cool way to kind of pay homage to the past and how Soaps kind of started. That was cool.
Yeah.
What I didn't expect, though, I kind of tuned in thinking, okay, this is going to be like Friday's episode. We're going to have like four people in the same room for all 36 minutes, you know, and it's just going to, you know, other than commercials, it's just going to be on them. It looked absolutely no different from a regular episode to me, you know.
Exactly.
Which, it shouldn't surprise me because most of the shows that do air are filmed in one shot. So, I mean, kind of is live with just a little extra editing. I did think it was cool how they kind of wanted to show we're live and look what we can do. And so they had like, you know, let's throw the bass on the ground and let's push Julian into the drink tray and have some glass crash. And so they tried to do some things, and even Carlos got shot. So they did a lot of things that people didn't think you could do live. The one thing I noticed was when Sam, she went to slap Jake across the face, and it sounded so weak, you know, because they couldn't put the sound effects in. That was the only thing that I saw that told me that it was live.
What about when Jake picked up that stick or whatever it was to hit Sean, and it was so fake. It was like he totally didn't even hit him. It was like 3 inches away from his body.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, that is so funny, because there's no sound effects in it or anything.
Right.
But
Yeah. I mean, that was it. So I'm not mad at it. It just showed me like how good they do on a daily basis. You know, they were able to do that. So, I thought it was fun, and I love how they kind of did like, you know, what was it like, you know, when Nina was watching TV, oh, The View, what's so great about being live, you know, haha. And then Hayden comes on and says, here I am live and in person. And so I appreciate those.
I did catch those. I thought that was cute. So Kelly, what are your thoughts about Nurse's Ball and GH Live?
Nurse's Ball was amazing. It was my first one, except the one that I watched on YouTube a couple weeks ago. I thought it was great. And when he proposed to Lucas, why cannot I remember his name?
Brad.
Yeah. Oh, I was crying. I was like, look at that. That's the best thing ever. And it made me happy. And then at the end of the third episode on the Nurse's Ball, when Nathan finally went home with Maxie and Spinelli and what's your face got back together, and they went off and were happily and nerdily ever after, whatever. That made me happy because you knew. I just started, you know, basically just start, not just, but you know, you could tell that Maxie and Spinelli are not going to stay together for long.
No,
like there was no way. But then there was. Let me think what else I loved. It was so fun. And when Duke and Anna were, you know, doing the tango, and that was super, super cool. I'm trying to think. It was just I like the Nurse's Ball all the way around. My favorite had to be when, you know, when Rick started singing and he's like, you know, proposing to Elizabeth, and then all of a sudden Carly just breaks in and she's like, hey, wait.
Oh, yes.
That was the best. That was the best ever. Because not only, you know, did it like just break Rick, but I mean, like Elizabeth and Jake can finally, you know, and of course we all knew it was Jason all along and blah, 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 and whatever, and we're all dying for everybody else to know. But at this point, it's true. Like, everybody's going to get so mad because Elizabeth and, you know, and Elizabeth and Nicholas knew the whole time that it was Jason. Well, not the whole time, but they knew that it was Jason. And so, I don't know, like, do I want him to, you know, be known, or do I want him to, you know, just keep being Jake? I don't know yet, but I'm glad that he and Elizabeth are finally getting their chance because I love it.
Yeah. Now, I had a sneakily feeling, like I said, well, for new time listeners, I've only been watching GH for 3 years, ever since the One Like the Livers joined. But I will say that today when I was watching it, when Liz was so desperate to get Hayden not to tell, and then she finds out that she's been in a shot, I'm wondering, is she going to try to like pull the plug on her, or she's going to try to kill her somehow, or, you know, because she desperately does not want nobody to know that Jake is Jason. And now also to you, Michael, I know you would like Jake to be Jake for however long. But for a lot of long-term fans, they're ready for the reveal. Just like we're ready the reveal of Adam Newman on Young and Restless.
Yeah, I know I'm in the minority. I know that.
But you know what? I actually enjoy Billy Miller playing Jake, because to me, I didn't really watch, or when Steve Burton was on before, when I first started watching it, I fast forward through him. I didn't like him. Just like I don't even really like him as Dylan, really. I'm just not a fan of his, and that's my prerogative. But I enjoy him as I enjoy Billy Miller playing Jake, because to me it's like a brand new character. He hasn't brought out any of his Jason characteristics except for the ability to shoot and kill or beat up people. I mean, other than that, he hasn't really but anyway, Billy Miller is doing an amazing job as Jake. I'm really enjoying it. But I want to know how long this memory loss is going to happen. I wonder if because we haven't seen flashes for a long time, you know, like flashbacks that he was doing for a long time. Yeah. We haven't seen any flashes. So I don't know if the flashes are gone or if he's going to start seeing flashes. We haven't seen any for like a month or even more maybe. But anyway, it's eventually got to come out. I mean, but oh, yeah. I kind of like him as Jake, but I do like his interactions with, I mean, I do like him with Liz. I enjoy Billy Miller as Jason with Liz. I'm not on that liaison or whatever it is, the liaison team. Yeah. Liz Jason, because I didn't watch it with Steve Burton, but you know, Steve Burton is of course, you know, daytime royalty or whatever. He's been on the show for 20 years or so, but I do enjoy Billy Miller as Jason. I think he's doing a great job, just like I love Justin Hartley playing Adam Newman on Young and the Restless. But I like Justin better because he's just fucking hot. Anyway, anything else?
Is it bad of me to say that I'm not a fan of Steve Burton?
It's like, you're allowed to say whatever.
Yeah.
Dylan annoys the shit out of me.
That's okay.
Like, I may endure some ridicule for that, but I mean, he's trying to be like law enforcer and insert himself in that thing with, you know, with the cabin and overreacting about, you know, what's her face being Avery being with Joe, but then he's doing the exact same thing by always being with Sharon and blah blah. Sorry.
Blah blah.
If he had been Jason, I would not have become as invested in General Hospital, I don't believe.
Mm. Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad. I'm so sad. Am I getting crushed on your Periscope thing there?
No. There's people that, you know, we all are entitled to our opinions. But I will say that I am definitely Team Shylin. Shylin, because I do like their chemistry together. I really do. And I really hope that the damn writers chill out the bashing and making Sharon Case always take the shitty scripts, even though, like I say, every week that she takes those scripts, whatever they're shitty or not, and she delivers gold with them. So fantastic. But I would like for her to have some happiness for a little bit, you know, and you know, we're just now getting to see that now with the development with Avery and Joe out of the way now. I wish they would actually just leave, like stay in Chicago at that rehab center forever, not come back to Genoa City, because I can't stand Betty Crocker. So let's see here. Yes, Mikey Tiger Licks just said Sharon Case deserves a damn Emmy. Yes, she does. This whole last year and 2 years or whatever, she has just been through the ringer with the scripts. You know, and I say this all the time too, you know, these people, you know, because the genre is definitely different than it has ever been, of course, you know, and it's not dying, but it's struggling. And, you know, when these actors are lucky to have a job, and that's why I never criticize the actors, because they deliver what they're written. I blame the writers and the creators and stuff like that. But these people take a script and they must look at it and go, what the fuck? I gotta play a twin, or I gotta burn down the Newman Ranch. And, you know, just like crazy stuff. You know, they probably go, what the hell? But I gotta go to work. I gotta pay the rent. So, or the mortgage, so they keep on doing their due. All right, any last words? Because we actually got done within an hour. Can you believe it? Well, David, the talkie walkie isn't here, so we had less time. David, we love
bring
you.
Bring it down.
Exactly, Mr. Negative Nancy.
For real. But some of us like our show.
I know, and some of you like baby deaths, and that's okay.
It is. As long as it's scripted and on fiction, on TV, not real life.
Yes. Pumpkins 1101 says, want to hear about Tony Geary. I read the story, but yeah. I didn't pull it up. God, I wish I would have pulled it up. He did an interview. Oh, I don't know where it was. Did you read it? Did you read the interview?
No, I didn't know. I'm going to look for it, though, after we're done. I was just hoping we were going to talk about his departure, though, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Thank you for reminding me, Periscoper, but I don't remember where the hell that is. Well, I will look for it and I will post wherever it was I found. I'll post it on Twitter and then we'll talk about it next week when we are back next Tuesday for our next talk. So But anyway, any comments, concerns, thoughts, wishes? Well, I can't grant any wishes, but you know, anything you want to say before we go, Mr. Michael?
Can I say something unrelated to General Hospital?
Oh, you can say. Well, I was getting ready to, you know, ask you about that too. But if you don't have nothing related to, if you don't have anything related to yourself.
The only other thing I would say about GH is that I know that there's some people out there in the Twitterverse who are, you know, upset about the focus on the mob recently. And what I liked about when the new regime came over, they kind of made the show more balanced. It was less focused on the mob, more on other people. I'm holding out hope here, but I don't necessarily think that we're necessarily going back towards a mob focused show. I think it was just time for a mob storyline to be told. And I feel like kind of when this kind of goes away, or like it finishes or kind of moves on, we'll kind of go back to the other characters and kind of go back and forth. So I think that some people have got so caught up with that it's mob that they're not enjoying the actual shows in front of them or enjoying what's being told. So that's just my two cents. I'm liking it. I like it much better when it's not as mob focused, but the fact that it's kind of been taking turns and kind of popping in a little more recently, I've enjoyed, because we've had so much time without it that it makes me appreciate it when it's here. So that's my hope for it right now. We'll see if it kind of does go back and forth, but I'm holding out hope, like I said. So I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kelly, anything on any of the shows that we didn't get to that you want to talk about or say or comment on?
I think I'm all talked out. It was, I mean, nope. I think I've said it all today. I just don't. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really want to say. I love Julian, and the fact that they're trying to screw him over with his kid hurts my feelings because he's the most attractive older man on any show I've ever seen.
Did you say older? Did you call him an older man?
Well, because he's not like. Why is he the same age as you? Is that why you're getting offended right now?
Well, I'm about to Google the son of a bitch's name right now.
I think he's late 40s, early 50s. I think he's definitely middle aged.
He's 47.
I mean, like, and I say 47. Like, quote unquote older. I say like older man. I'd marry him in a heartbeat, so it doesn't matter how old he is. Mm-hmm. I'm saying he's a patriarch type. He's not like, you know, Dante, who I'm looking at on my television right now. He's not younger, you know, the younger generation. So when I say like quote unquote older men, it's not an offensive term. I'm not saying like he's an old man like Victor. I'm saying like. He's a fine man. He's fine.
That's what I took that as, is if you're putting Julian up there with Victor and Stefano as older men, I was going to cross this counter and kick your ass.
No.
I knew Kelly's heart. I knew what she meant.
Thank you, love. Victor and Stefano are like the old fat wrinkly men who like, you know, make you want to throw up if they ever start to unbutton their shirt. So it's just calm down. Julian can have conversations shirtless all day long. Like, I hope you go to the police station right now to check on whatever's going on with all that junk. Just come without your shirt on. It's okay.
Yeah, or I mean,
shirts are not required.
That's fine.
Shirts are not required at the GCPD.
PCPD.
PCPD. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Shirts are not required, ever. Like, if Nathan and Dante and Julian all need to go take their shirts off at work, okay. I'm okay with that. That's fine. Let Justin Hartley come over and visit.
You better back up off that bitch. I will cut you. I've got my scissors ready for that.
I'm just saying.
All right. Are you wet? Are your panties moist right now? Either one of you?
No.
I will not comment on that.
That's why you were quiet the first half hour. Not because I was talking. You were finger banging yourself. You nasty girls. Okay. Well, now that I made everybody blush, I'm getting a lot of hearts on Periscope for finger banging. Yay for hearts.
Oh my.
All right. Well, we're done with soaps. Let me just ask a couple questions real quick before we wrap up. Have you seen any good movies lately, Michael?
You know what? I did. I don't really go to the movies that much because they cost money. But I did see, I'm a little late, but I saw The Age of Adeline about a week ago. And oh. I really liked it. I didn't know what to expect. We had this thing on Tuesdays where movies are $5 after 5 p.m. So I was like, I can spend $5. And I had a good time. I liked it a lot. So if you haven't seen it, I would say check it out. And if you have, hopefully you liked it too.
Well, Michael, I have a little bit of advice for you. Could you come a little bit closer? I got to whisper something into your ear. If you start charging more money on the weekends, you'll make more money to be able to go see a matinee.
I'm a lady, okay?
You're a lady.
Just like Kelly. We're not that kind of girl.
That's right. We're good girls.
Anyway, raise your prices on the weekends and you can have more fun. Okay. Kelly, have you seen any new movies lately?
Yes. I went to see Furious 7 a few weeks ago. I think we talked about that, though. And I cried like a baby at the end of it. And I'll tell you, props to my man that took me to the movie, because he knew that I was going to cry at the end of that. So he even got a handful of napkins and brought them in with him. I was so impressed. This past Friday, I was super excited because Pitch Perfect 2 came out, and it was so funny. I freaking loved it.
I'm going to go see that tomorrow.
It was hilarious. I laughed my butt off. It was so stinking funny.
You just said butt and stinky in one sentence, and I can just imagine you need to go wipe.
Oh.
Calm down.
Oh, did you leave your ass at the theater? I mean, did you go back and pick it up?
Oh, yeah, I brought it home with me.
Yeah, I hope you did. I went to go see Mad Max, and I saw Ex Machina, and I saw Unfriended. Yeah, those are the three I saw. And Avengers 2. So I go all the time because I have that thing I think I told you about called Movie Pass, which is $35 a month, and you get to go to as many movies as you want. It's like Netflix for the theaters. I highly recommend it. Go to moviepass.com and pay $35, and you can go, especially if you go a lot. Like if you go to 10 movies, that means your movie costs $350 a piece. I mean, so that's really, really good. And you can go anywhere you want, et cetera, et cetera. So go to moviepass.com. Not that they sponsor my show, but I just like to help people save money, and that's a good way to save money. Unfriended was really good. It was all taking place on a computer screen, which was really, really cool and innovative. Mad Max Fury Road was fantastic. Nicholas Holt was a standout, stellar performance. Tom Hardy was gorgeous. I want his lips to be on my lips. Charlize Theron was wonderful. She can act with her eyes. She don't even have to do anything. She's just beautiful. Avengers, fantastic. Oh, all those hot men and big hammers, and it was just really good. And then Ex Machina, I don't know if you guys heard of that one. It's really, really good. It's about artificial intelligence and robots and stuff. It was really, well, a female robot. It was really good. I'm gonna go see Poltergeist this weekend, and I'm gonna see Pitch Perfect 2, and I want to go see whatever else the big one is this week. I can't remember right now. And I want to see San Andreas the week after that. So I'm a movie whore. But I don't have nobody to go to the movies with, so come. If you're in Fort Lauderdale, be my movie buddy, everybody. Okay, well, let's wrap this up. I just want to tell you also, speaking of Periscope, do either one of you watch The People's Couch, or does anybody watch The People's Couch listening?
No.
Have you ever heard of The People's Couch, either one of you?
Wait, I think I have. Go ahead. I think I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, well, it's on Bravo, and they sit on a couch and they talk about the TV shows while they're watching them, and it's hysterical. Well, one of the people on the show, his name is Emerson Collins. He's on there. He's hysterical. He's worked with Del Shores, with a lot of Sorted Lives, the TV series. He was in a movie called Southern Baptist Sissies. He's just hysterical. And I met him through Periscope. I watch him every day on Periscope, and you can follow him at Actually Emerson. Anyway, I love him. He's got great energy, and I invite him to my show. So he'll be on Air with Doug, at On Air with Doug, Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, if you want a good laugh. And also, another Periscoper who's hysterical and has YouTube videos is Jason Ferrone. If you don't know him, go listen to that interview as well. You can go just click here at the Blog Talk Radio link and type in On Air with Doug, and you can go see over 300 interviews I've done with celebrities and et cetera, et cetera. So there we go. There's my little plug. Thank you for listening on the World Wide Web or on your mobile device. And thank you for the Periscopers who have been giving me hearts this whole time as I did my first broadcast scoping with the fans. And I will do this again each time because that'll only give us more listeners and people can interact. And so, Kelly, have you been watching me this whole time?
No, I tried. There was a really terrible echo, so I couldn't. My ADHD kicked in, and it was bad.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I couldn't watch and talk on the phone at the same time.
I have ADD too, so I'm over what you're saying. So anyway, Michael, thank you so much for being here. I miss you guys the last couple of weeks. Hopefully, we'll be back next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And thank you, Kelly, for being here. Also, one last thing, Big Brother fans. Big Brother 17 is coming back next month at the end, I think on June 24th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Be sure to be tuning in because Claudia, Kelly, and I will be back with The Social Game, which was our podcast that we did last year for BB16. So be sure to follow at On Air with Doug for all the information regarding that podcast. There won't be its own Twitter handle. It'll all be under On Air with Doug. So enjoy that. We had a good time last time. And I'm sure this year, Kelly will have a obsession with somebody like she did last year with Derek. So
there will be a new Derek. You know, isn't this season supposed to be like an all-star thing? So it's going to be like somebody that was my favorite before, and now they're just going to be my favorite again. Isn't that what it is?
I don't know. They haven't announced it. They haven't announced the cast yet. So we'll find out. No. All right. Well, be sure to follow.
I guess that was a rumor. I don't know.
That's okay. Be sure to follow the show at Talk Soap. You can follow me at DouglasML1974, Michael at MPGRASSO, and Kelly at KELLIBETH. Kelly Beth, thank you. And good night, guys. Bye. Don't you know how to say bye?
Bye.
Well, a lot of times we don't. So goodbye.
Bye.
Damn.
Bye, everybody.
Damn.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget, the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.